Man, hasn't the music just been incredible this series as we've looked at, we are such a blessed church. From everything from kids ministry and having kids involved to incredible musicians that just bless us every week. And as we've looked at the Christmas playlist, this has been our series, taking a look at different songs. And this week, we'll take a look at Do You Hear What I Hear? And these songs point out the story of Christmas. They remind us of the point of Christmas. They also point us to the God of Christmas. And so we'll take a look at them and look at Scripture and see what Scripture has to say to us today. Before we dive in, I'd love to pray. Would you guys pray with me? God, as we open your word, we are thankful. We are thankful for our incredible staff and team that leads us in worship every week, that we get to gather together and lift our voices and our hearts to you. I'm so thankful for these kids and all the volunteers that point them towards you. And Father, as we open your scripture today, we are thankful that you've given us your word, that we can gather together and read it, and that you would speak to us, that 2,000 years ago when these words were written down, you knew we would be here gathered around your scripture, and you wrote them even to us. And so I pray that they would make sense to us today, that they would grab our hearts and our minds, and that you would send us out from here to live your word out. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So the song, Do You Hear What I Hear?, has that refrain in the middle of it. People pray for peace everywhere. The writers of the song said that was really the main point of the song. People pray for peace everywhere. I don't know how Christmas time goes around your house, but my calendar does not look so peaceful these last couple weeks. In fact, we seem so busy. There's all kind of things going on for our kids, and there are things happening at church, and we're finding great ways to serve and great ways to be with friends and family and wrapping presents. All the stuff has made for quite a bit of commotion, not a ton of peace. In fact, Cammy was reminding me of a story. When she was a kid, she was playing at a friend's house, and they ended up in the attic. And up in the attic, they were wandering around, and they found like a little side room in the attic. And they opened the door, and they went in. And in the attic, they found a chair, a lamp, a side table, some books, and her mom's reading glasses. This is very mysterious, you know, very, very. And they thought, what in the world is going on? When Cammy first told me that story, it was long before I had kids, and I thought, what in the world? That's just weird. But these days, I've been looking around my attic thinking, is there a little, because I just want some peace, you know? Is there just a little corner where I can just have a little book and a nice chair, and nobody knows where I'm at? And how do you find peace? We long for peace. We long for it in our own lives, and we long for it in our world. The year this song was actually written in 1962 in October. Some of you will know what was going on in October of 1962. I had to look it up. It was the Cuban Missile Crisis. Cuban Missile Crisis, 1962 in October. The world felt like it was on the brink of destruction, like annihilation was about to happen. War was going to break out at any moment. This couple lived in New York. They wrote songs for a living, and they had been contracted to write a Christmas song, and nothing of any inspiration was coming to them at all. They weren't really a very religious couple, but they were walking through the streets of New York. It was a cold, blistery day, and they saw a bunch of women pushing their babies down the street, and the babies were cold, and they were covering them up. And they started thinking about a baby being born because they knew the story of Jesus. And this group of people, this couple, not necessarily very religious, they also had in the back of their mind this Cuban Missile Crisis, the world feeling like it was on the brink of meltdown, and this longing that they had for peace. And they wrote this story. They wrote this song that sort of tells the story of Christ coming into the world. Even though they weren't super kind of church folks, they wanted hope for peace somewhere. And they reached back to the story of Jesus. coming into the world. Now, if you read the story, it's got some great parts to it, right? There's a story of the whisper of kind of Jesus is coming, peace is coming into the world. You can hear it, peace couldn't really come, it's being whispered. You get it to the shepherds, that's right. They get down to the part about kings and stuff, and they totally botch it. You go back, read the lyrics, you know, they I don't know, it got muddy in there somewhere. But this is the story of peace coming into the world. And it's whispered. But people start to hear it. It starts to spread. It's possible that our lives could actually find peace. I want you to read with me the story from Luke's gospel. This is Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can pull it out with me, or you can follow along on the screen. It's a very familiar Christmas passage. In fact, even in this series a couple weeks ago, we read this same passage, and we'll read a little bit more of it today. This is Luke chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." There's the proclamation that peace is coming. It goes on. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They started whispering, "Do you hear what I hear? Have you seen it? Have you heard?" And they started to spread the good news, right? A Savior was born. A Savior was coming into the world. But the people that the shepherds were talking to in that day would have heard this news a little differently than we do. You know, we hear it and we automatically think those words. We think about Christmas. We think about Christ coming into the world. We hear an idea of peace and we're like, yeah, that's sort of a church thing that's out there. But in their world, at that time, this was actually common language. This wasn't a new story. This was something that they had heard before. Let me explain it. If we had started back in the beginning of Luke, in Luke chapter 2, right at the beginning, in verse 1, we would have read this. We didn't have time today, but we would have read this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Caesar Augustus, he's the emperor of Rome. Israel was part of the Roman world at the time. The shepherds and Mary and Joseph, they lived under Roman rule. And Caesar, the ruler of Rome, was 2,500 miles away. I looked that up on Google Maps. 2,500 miles away. And this Caesar, one guy, stands up and says, everyone needs to go to their hometown for a census. And people moved. In fact, 2,500 miles away, a little couple who was having a hard start to their marriage. They were having a pregnancy that wasn't planned, and things weren't really supposed to be this way for them. That little couple had to get up and make their way to Bethlehem because a guy 2,500 miles away said, "Get up and move." Think of the power of that. The Roman world at the time was full of great power, great army, great roads, commerce was growing. And in fact, this is what was written about Caesar Augustus. Now, this writing was found in Turkey, just a little bit north of where Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus were. It was inscribed in 6 BC, and we've seen it. It's even there today. 6 BC would have been a few years before the time of Christ. Would have been towards the end of Caesar Augustus's rule over Rome. And this is what it says. Listen to these words. This is the inscription found in Turkey. It says this: "The birthday of Caesar Augustus has been for the whole world the beginning of the gospel." Did you expect that? That was the language about Caesar Augustus. It was the beginning of the gospel. In fact, this inscription is, they call it the calendar inscription, and it was an argument why that the world should count, it should start its year every year at Caesar Augustus' birthday. That was what they were pitching. Start your year at Caesar Augustus' birthday. Anybody know what day Caesar Augustus was born? September 23. You missed it. I'm sorry, you do not get to celebrate Caesar Augustus' birthday this year. You missed it. His birthday is gone. We don't even remember that anymore. But that was the argument. And the language that was given, did you hear it? They said, this is the beginning of the good news. Listen the rest of the way that that inscription had. "The most divine Caesar, we should consider equal to the beginning of all things. For when everything was falling into disorder and tending toward dissolution, he restored it once more and gave the whole world a new aura. Caesar Augustus, who being sent to us and our descendants as Savior, has put an end to war and has set all things in order. Caesar has fulfilled all the hopes of earlier times." Do you hear some familiar language in there? A Savior coming to bring peace and restore order. That the world had been set up. The world they lived in, they said, the world has been set up by the Caesar. The Rome has brought peace. Now, the people of Israel knew it as a crushing peace. It was peace by force. But this was the good news. I thought I'd teach you some Greek today. You guys want to do? You woke up this morning thinking, I'm going to get up, go to church, so we can learn some Greek. That's just what you wanted, right? You could use a little bit of Greek. Let me teach you just a little bit, okay? It's sort of two words. This is good news. The first, you got to learn how to say good in Greek. You ready? Ew. That's it, right there. Ew. You try that? Ew. That means good. That means good in Greek. That's ew, ew. My kids, they get the benefit of both dad humor and pastor humor, right? And I put those two things together, and they just love that. And so they'll come to me, and they'll be like, ew, dad. And I will say, did you mean that in the Greek way? You know, because it means good, right? You guys with me? Okay, so that's ew, ew. Second Greek word you need to learn, angel, right? Angelos, angelon, angel. That word actually means messenger. That's what that means. We think of the beings, angels, but the word itself means messenger. Good message. Euangelion. Last week, I told you about a word, you know, proto-euangelion. I said that was going to be a good one to use at lunch. This week, you can just use euangelion, okay? Ew. So next time somebody says ew at some food that you made or whatever, you know they mean good. That's what that means, all right? That's the good news. Euangelion was a word that was used all the time. It wasn't a new word that was being used when the writer of this gospel, when Luke writes this gospel. That wasn't brand new language. In fact, when Mary and Joseph were born, the shepherds heard about an euangelion. It wasn't a new thing. It wasn't a surprise. This good news was something that was talked about all the time. They had heard about good news. They knew that Rome brought good news. They had heard about good news. They knew that Rome brought peace. Rome had set up peace by force. Rome had set up an economy that people would prosper unless you were the lower classes. It was built on your backs. They knew about good news. They had heard about peace. Luke, the writer of the gospel, he's not telling you something brand new. He's telling you something you thought you knew is actually different. You thought you knew about good news. The shepherds, they thought they had heard about the good news, the euangelion. They thought they knew what would bring peace, but it did not bring peace, not for them. And the angels show up, the messengers, and they bring a new message. What you thought was good news is not it. Good news doesn't look like a Roman Caesar 2,500 miles away who speaks with power to make people move. It looks like a baby born in a manger. Good news doesn't look like crushing armies. It looks like a baby who will grow up, live with his people, go to death on a cross. But after the death, we'll bring resurrection. Good news doesn't look like what you thought. Now, you also have to understand the word peace. Peace is a really important word in the scripture. It's not a Greek word. It's not a New Testament word. Peace is actually the Old Testament word. This is a word that's the most important word in the whole Old Testament. You find it all the way through. That word is shalom. Now, you've got to distinguish it a little bit. When I think about peace, I just think of sort of absence of conflict, that there would be no conflict around. And sometimes that's a pretty good thing. In my house, I got, two little guys, and they have a little playroom upstairs. And when they're up there playing and there's silence for a really long time, I know something bad is going on, something evil and nefarious. I'm sure of it. But I have a decision to make as a father. I can either go up and find out what's going on and fix the problem, or I can say, no one's yelling at each other, right? There is an absence of conflict in the house. Why don't I just take this moment, and just relax? I can just let go because I want that absence of conflict sometimes. But peace is more than that. Peace, this word, this biblical word for peace, shalom, it means wholeness. It means setting the world in order. Now, in some respects, this means actual peace, that there is no war. But in other respects, it means justice. It means when people are not being treated right, when groups of people are fighting against each other or putting each other down, it means that would be set right. In fact, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he starts talking about turning the world upside down. He says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. He says those who are in prison will be set free. He's bringing order. He's bringing justice. And that word peace means justice. It means wholeness. It means wholeness for communities. But peace is also a relational word. It means wholeness for us in our relationships. Peace actually means reconciliation. Cammie and I, my wife and I, we occasionally disagree. We more than disagree. Occasionally we fight. I know that's hard for some of you, like pastors, arguing, disagreeing with your spouse. Yes, we do. That happens. And sometimes those things can feel quite tense. And there can be a lot of tension around the house and in our relationship. But there's always this moment. This moment somewhere in the heat of those exchanges, where it's usually Cammie, she'll reach out her hand and just touch me, just grab me, just maybe grab my hand, just my shoulder, my arm. Sometimes it doesn't happen until at night and we've gotten in bed. It's still tense. I know you're supposed to have that all worked out before you go to bed, but we don't have everything perfectly set up. All right, so sometimes you're still tense when you get in bed, and she'll reach out and just touch me, and I'll bristle because that's my. Bristle. But then there's a, because I know what she's communicating in that touch. She's saying, I'm here. We're together. We're in this together. I'm still with you. The argument's not over. We're going to finish this later, but I am here. there'll be more conversation, but I'm with you. We're together. A relationship is reconciled. Christmas story is a story of reconciliation. that the God who created the whole world and everything in it, he spoke it into existence, that God would come into our world so that we can have a relationship with him, that he might know us, that we might know him. It's about a reconciliation of a relationship that brings peace. That's the kind of peace that's talked about in the scripture. Sometimes we think we're looking for peace and we look for it in all kinds of places. We're trying to find peace in our jobs, in our workplace. We're trying to find peace in the things we see on the news. I mean, heaven help us if we, you know, see peace out there. We're trying to find peace in some other event in our life or having just the right things. And the story of Jesus coming into the world is that peace might come to you because God, we serve a God who's willing to meet with you, with me. He's willing to come right into your world, the messiness of your world, the messiness of your family. He's willing to come right into the middle of the hopes and the dreams that seem that they have fallen apart and bring peace to you. I search for peace in all the wrong places. Christmas story is I'm looking for the wrong good news. I'm looking to the wrong Savior. This Christmas, I want to invite you to do something. You've got a few days left till Christmas. I imagine it's not going to get less busy. Maybe for you it will. I want to invite you to pause and spend some time with God. I want to invite you to pause and just take a moment and go, where's my relationship with God? God comes to this earth, sends his son, invites, longs for a relationship with you, and sometimes I don't pay attention to it at all. I just keep going with the busyness. I'm searching for peace, and I go right past it. I invite you to sit with God. Sometimes when I pray, and I just need to be quiet and invite God into my heart, just God come into my life. God bring the peace that I'm looking for that I can't find. Sometimes when I do that, I just need to be quiet and find a place and pray. I just open my hands like this. I'm a Presbyterian, so I do it like this, not, you know, like that or whatever, but I get, you know. But I just open my hands and I say, God, I'm searching everywhere. God, right now we need peace. Would you bring that wholeness into my heart? Would you bring me close to you? Would you bring me the reconciliation that I so long for? That you would set our relationship right. Let me pray for us. God, every time I read this story, I'm just blown away. You would enter our world, that you would come to us, and that you would bring peace. God, so many of us, we long for peace. We long for peace in our families. We long for wholeness there. We long for peace in our community. Father, would you bring it? Would you make us whole? May I know how close you really are. We pray all of this in your holy name.